I'm happy to be back with my teammates and, you know, just be back.
Right now, we're just ready to play.
Back to Mike and Dylan, live from the Ticketmaster Studios in Flowery Branch.
Brought to you in part by your North Georgia Honda dealers, Window Nation, windownation.com, or call 866-90-NATION, and Margaritaville in Lanier Islands.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is your boy Dylan Matthews hanging out with former Atlanta Falcon Mike Johnson. Played all five positions on the Falcons offensive line. Even played tight end and even caught a touchdown.
Tutty.
Got that tutty from a very, very special quarterback who is here today. Matty Ice is in the building. Matt Ryan is here at Falcons training camp. Day four of Falcons training camp, and Matt Ryan is here. And Mike, I got to tell you, I was this close to wearing my Matt Ryan jersey. Should have done it.
That's pretty good one to wear. I do. I mean, I had the football still in my mantle. My son tried to play catch with me the other day. He's almost five, and I was like, no, buddy,
not that one.
Hey, you can look. I'm not really keepsake wise about much of anything. I've let my son put on the natty rings. I'm good.
Nice.
But hey, that touchdown ball, you ain't touching that.
Can't touch that one.
It says, you know, my career stats are very simple. One catch for 1 yard and one touchdown, all for Matt Ryan.
Smooth, all across the board.
so you don't have to go too deep into the statistics in 2012 to find the one receiving yard for Matt. But, yeah, man, obviously special competitor. Special place in the hearts of a lot of Atlanta Falcons fans. He is out on the field today chopping it up. I don't think there's anything to be led to other than it's always a good thing to have him around here.
Absolutely. And I was going to ask you a question about that. Do you think he's got to probably address the team in some way, shape, or form today. You got to think, right? Is he just here just watching?
I think he usually does. And, of course, everybody's seen the video of Raheem Morris letting him know that he's going in the Falcons' ring of honor, stepping in front of the team, giving the team a speech. And I think he does such a good job. Matt Ryan understands this city.
Yes.
Right? And still calls this city home. He's a guy that's obviously from Pennsylvania, but still calls Atlanta home. And now working for CBS Sports, I know it's taken on more of a unique role for him. But he's such a unique individual. And anybody that's ever spent time with him understands that he is the same in person for the most part. Maybe a little bit more R-rated when he's sitting around having a beer, you know, likes to tell stories and things like that. But he's a great dude, and he was a great teammate. He's a great leader. He understands this team, this franchise, this city like no other. And obviously took this team to heights that we had not seen before. Still wish that it ended with a Super Bowl ring. But, you know, obviously I think for most fans, 99.9%, they have very, very fond memories of the person that Matt Ryan is. And so having him out on the field, I know that last year when I was out here, he had his two twin boys with him and being able to chop it up. And he's a special player, man. So love seeing him out around here however you can get him.
Real quick before we move on, did Matt say anything to you when you caught that touchdown? What was the celebration like?
It was a freak, yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to put it out on radio. But
Nah.
I think the first person, I think Tony Gonzalez jumped kind of over my head. He was trying to jump on my back, and I turned around as it happened and kind of kneed me in the face. Tyson Klebo, who was playing tackle, was so stoked. He gave up a holy crap at that point. It was much more R-rated than that.
And then, sugar, honey, iced tea.
Yeah, and then as the line – like, that was the biggest thing. I didn't celebrate. I was like, people, power spike? Nah, man. I didn't. I just froze.
Yeah.
I just turned around and was like, holy crap. All five offensive linemen are kind of around me going, that was incredible. Like, that's every lineman's dream. And then Matt at the end kind of jumps on the pile and gives me the you know, the freak, yeah. So it was it was special, man.
And it was even more sweet, too, because it was against the Saints, right?
Against the Saints in the Superdome.
Oh, yeah.
Wish we had won that day. You know, that was one of the other things about that. Going into that weekend, we were undefeated. Not only that, how about this on the flip side? Alabama was undefeated.
Wow.
And that same weekend, Alabama lost to Johnny Football and Texas A&M in Tuscaloosa, and then we lose the Saints on Sunday. So it was everything else about that weekend for me sucked.
Yeah.
But the touchdown. So I get, you know, at least take the touchdown away from that.
Yeah, at least the touchdown made up for it.
I was getting on the plane flight, and I remember Tyson Klebo saying this. We were all like, oh, man, we lost. And Tyson Klebo, vet, Pro Bowl or whatever, he goes, let's not lose sight of the main thing here. Mike Johnson scored a touchdown today.
Yeah. There it is. Keep the main thing, baby.
That's it, baby. You're going to lose games in the NFL, but hey, ain't every week you have a big man touchdown.
That's right. We love the big man touchdown around here. It is Sports Radio 92 on the game. It is your boy Dylan Matthews and Mike Johnson hanging out with you. We'll be here with you until 1 p.m., by the way.
Dang.
As we are hanging out at Flowery Branch, live at Falcons training camp here, as Falcons continue to roll in. Falcons fans also getting their refreshments, their food, their gear, as we are here by all the food trucks and festivities going on, and Mike still's got his eye on that tacos and tequilas food truck.
Hey, man.
I feel bad for that food when Mike finally gets it because he's got that crazy look in his eye. He's going to be ready to devour that
and
thing.
And at
once
one
he
point,
it.
He said, let's get it on. Now, I didn't notice the Fare on Wheels food truck a minute ago, which is like corn dogs and funnel cakes. Bro, yeah. Holler at me. You know what I mean? Holler at me about that.
This reminds me back when I was a JIT and I used to work at a lemonade. I used to work for a lemonade vendor.
Yeah.
Remind me of those times being out at the different events and serving up the lemonade, fresh squeeze, by the way. So there you go. All right, let's go ahead and get into some more Falcons talk because we teased it coming out of last break. Got to talk about the sack numbers, Mike.
Yeah.
Got to get into it. What is a realistic sack number for the Falcons this season? Because I mean, You can't help but feel good about it right now. And, I mean, look, everybody, all fans, all teams feel good about their team right now. Everybody, besides, you know, a select few have that optimistic going into training camp. They're like, yeah, we got this. We feel good about this. We feel good about this guy, that guy, this group, this position group. But, I mean, when you think about it, Jalen Walker, we got the Georgia boy here. Finally drafted a Georgia player, 8th overall. We got James Pierce Jr. traded up for him, feeling good about him, feeling good about the new influx of pass rushers we brought in. Brought in Leonard Floyd as well. Arnold Ebiketie, hoping this is gonna finally be the year he has a breakout year. He started to turn it on towards the end of last season. 5 of his 6 sacks came the final 6 games of the season. What are we looking at here, Mike?
Man.
How many sack numbers are we looking at here this season? Realistically, if you had to put it out there.
Well, I think that anybody's gonna tell you that the Falcons need to at least get north of 40.
Please.
I think they ended up at 32. And look, I'll be the first one to tell you, I felt hollow about last year's sack numbers.
Yeah.
It seemed like as the offense got worse and as quarterback play got worse, the sack totals continued to go up. And I do the wrong thing, and this is such an offensive guy talking to you guys. I always do the wrong thing, and I focus on the ones they've missed. I think about the Jaden Daniels plays in the backfield. You didn't bring him down. I think about a couple of years ago, the Josh Dobb plays, the Kyler Murrays, the, you know, this, that, and the other. And Bryce Young at the end of the season, leaving a kind of bad taste in your mouth about not being able to get to him for the large part. I think the Falcons ended up with 32 a year ago. When you look at that, it's just not good enough. It's just not. And I think that one of the reasons I look at it as a hollow total is because you got to 32 and you really turned it on down the stretch.
Right.
But you still 30th in the NFL. You know what I mean? And it was still very, very bad from that aspect. So it's not only to me about the sack numbers, it's about when you get the sack numbers, it's about who you get them against, it's about getting off the field on third down, and it's about getting them when you have one-on-one matchups. And look, going into week one, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be without Tristan Wirfs at left tackle. He is a guy who right now is playing on a high Hall of Fame level at left tackle. He is, by any stretch of the imagination, top three in left tackles in the NFL and has been for a couple of years. So without him in the fold, right, without Chris Godwin in the fold for Tampa Bay, can you get to Baker? Now, they're going to have all training camp, Tampa Bay Buccaneers will, in terms of getting things right and having a game plan. But so did the Falcons last year against T.J. Watt, and it didn't really unfold the way you wanted it to in week one. So I don't know, man. To me, it's all about finding the one-on-one matchups and getting off the field on third down. Can we get sacks on second and 13? Sure. That'd be great. But you have to be able to get the offense back on the field and kind of adapt to it from that perspective in order for us to actually be happy. I think too many times in Falcons fandom do we focus on, oh, they're ranked 30th, 31st. Okay, if they get the right 32, the right 35, the right 40, then that's when we're talking about really hitting the next level as a defense. So that's what I'll be focused on early on. And, you know, the question then comes, who's getting them?
Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought that up because that was going to be my next question to you. Because I remember you guys talking on the morning shift about Arnold Ebiketie and how – and you said specifically that if Arnold Ebiketie gets off to a hot start and if Arnold Ebiketie can be that guy that gets things going as far as the sacks goes and if he can be a guy early on that's bringing in the sacks, that can really help propel this defense and propel this team overall to being a playoff team. And then when you think about Arnold Ebiketie, you think about Leonard Floyd, I agree with you as far as – Arnold Ebiketie and Leonard Floyd, to me, have to be the two guys that get things started. And if we see early on Arnold Ebiketie and Leonard Floyd ringing in sacks, that'll open things up for everybody else. That'll open things up for the Jalen Walkers. That'll open things up for the James Pierces. That'll even open things up for guys on the interior, for maybe a David Onyemata or a Rook or a Brandon Dorlis or, you know, guys of that nature. So, to me, it has to be Leonard Floyd and Arnold Ebiketie as far as setting the tone. They have to be the tone setters to start the season as far as when you talk about the guys that are getting the sacks.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And, you know, we went out Thursday to practice. It was the first thing I wanted to notice is, first of all, are they in a 3-4 or 4-3 personnel? That's one of the first things you're always going to look for. They were in 3-4 personnel on Thursday. It sounds like they went to more 4-3 yesterday, started blitzing a little bit more out of the 4-3 package.
Yeah.
But when you got to the 3-4, the first two outside linebackers on the field were Leonard Floyd and Arnold Ebiketie. Now, as we've moved on and in hearing reports from yesterday's practice, it sounds like they want Jalen Walker and James Pierce to work together, to work alongside one another. I would go out there and say that I don't think that either one of those rookies, as it stands right now, I would not think that either one of those rookies would be on the field for the first third down of the season against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think this is Leonard Floyd, who looks like he's about 7 foot tall on the field right now, and Arnold Ebiketie, who was your sack leader a year ago with 6. Don't forget, Matthew Judon ended with 5.5. One of the most empty sack totals I've ever seen, because I don't even barely remember Matthew Judon's 5.5 sacks last year,
same.
And they all came down the stretch. But I would make the argument that as it stands right now, you don't expect much of those rookies. And when you look back at rookie sack totals in the NFL and NFL history, it's few and far between guys that actually get to double digits as rookies. And I think Braden Fisk might have been the only guy last year, and he's more of an interior guy for the LA Rams that actually got to 10 sacks last year. So we'll see how that goes.
And let me ask you a follow-up on that when you talk about Jalen Walker and James Pierce and how the Falcons, you think, want them to work together. And when you say alongside, you mean like they're on the opposite end.
Correct,
right.
Correct.
So
yes.
With that, what do you think is the benefit to that? Like, what is the thinking, if you just had to dive into the mind of Jeff Ulbrich and that defensive staff, Nate Ollie, what is the thinking behind having James Pierce and James Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker on the field at the same time, as opposed to, like, you know, maybe Jalen Walker and Arnold Ebiketie or Jalen Walker and Leonard Floyd? What's the benefit to, what's the thinking behind having Jalen Walker and James Pierce on at the same time?
Well, I think, first of all, let's hone in on the fact that you're probably only going to deploy them on certain downs in certain situations.
Right.
I think the upside of it is Jeff Ulbrich's looking, going, hey, we can kind of downgrade or downsize what we're asking them to do by just simply putting them on the field in a situation where you say, okay, go get the quarterback, right? They don't have to think as much as maybe an Arnold Ebiketie or a Leonard Floyd would on first, second down. Now, they're going to play first and second down. That's just how this defense has rolled under Raheem Morris, where they've rolled in a number of bodies on the front. They've rolled in outside linebackers. They put in people in place of Matthew Judon last year at certain aspects. So they're going to play some of those early downs at time. They're not just going to be specialized pass rushers, because that's honestly what Arnold Ebiketie is. But I think you do stand to look at the fact that maybe on the early downs you do go 4-3, right? Maybe you do only have one outside linebacker on the field in the 4-3 alignment, kind of backs those guys up. The other side of that is, and I'm glad you asked the question that way, these guys can compete with one another. They're both first-round draft picks. Both guys have a lot of expectations in terms of this franchise. Is it one of those things where they're lining up in the defensive huddle and going, hey, meet me at the quarterback? Hey, I'll see you when I get there. Hey, I guarantee I get there before you do. One will be lined up against McGarry, and one's lined up against Jake Matthews, or Storm Norton's been playing a lot recently, or maybe a Jack Nelson, who I've seen in there as well, and saying, hey, I'm going to get there first. And maybe there is another aspect of that for a Jeff Ulbrich, for a Raheem, saying, hey, go challenge one another. You guys are going to be tasked with a lot of the same things. Jalen Walker, to my knowledge right now, is not being asked to back off the ball and play any off-ball linebacker, which we all expect in the long run he will be tasked with. But right now, he is in the James Pierce role, saying, hey, go get him. And I think if you have both those guys on the field at the same time, it becomes very much an awareness out of them of, hey, this guy's doing that. If I want to get my playing time, I have to step it up. And I think you'll start to see that play out as we go through training camp.
It'll be very interesting to see, and that's a very interesting point as far as them working alongside each other. I didn't think about that until you brought that up, so that's a phenomenal point. So we'll see how that continues to play out. While we do have just a couple of minutes here, we only need a couple minutes to talk about this because, I mean, a season that has gone from bad to worse to even worse, and at this point, I mean, I don't even know what rock bottom is.
I know
is
where you're going already without you even asking the question.
I thought they hit rock bottom months ago, but it feels like they just continue to hit new rock bottoms. The Braves, along with now being on a 4-game losing streak after losing to the Texas Rangers again last night, Grant Holmes headed to the IL with elbow tightness, and now all 5 starting pitchers who were supposed to be 35 on the opening day roster, or were the starting 5 of the opening day roster, are now all out, and they're now all on the IL. I mean, Mike, just what is there even to say about this, man? I mean, oh, my gosh.
Here's the thing. We talked to Grant McCauley on Friday on the morning shift, and I almost feel bad for Grant McCauley.
Right.
Is that a good way to put it?
Yes.
I'm like, you know what? When you work as a beat reporter and an insider for the Braves right now, what are you supposed to say? What are you supposed to say other than reporting who, you know, what the draft picks are doing or what the prospects are doing or what possible trade speculation there is out there? I don't think this changes any of my outlook for the Atlanta Braves. I don't think this changes any of my opinion on what they should do. We've gone back and forth till we're blue in the face over who are core players, who are not core players, who will they get rid of. I don't think they're getting rid of most of this team that would have been on the team next year. Michael Harris goes 4-for-4 last night, by the way.
Yeah.
Dang.
Dang.
And has a great night. So that's a good sign moving forward. But,
for sure,
man, it's just anybody inside of that locker room or covering this team on a daily basis, that is a brutal way to go about life, my friend.
It really is. And like I said, I feel bad for all the beat riders and even the players at this point, too, because at this point it's just, okay, you know what this season is, and the writing's on the wall. They're still going to go out there and try their hardest to try and get wins. But, I mean, it's just tough. And so, hopefully, again, Money Mike continues to stay hot, and he continues to finish the season strong. And hopefully, again, maybe you get some young pitchers up here, the Hurston Waldrips of the world and whoever, and they can have some good showings if they get some time up here. But at this point, you're just like, man, I'm just ready to finish this season. We'll see who, you know, if Marcell Ozuna seems like he maybe has a foot out the door already. We're seeing where he ends up. But after that, it's just like, okay, let's just get through this season and let's not have any more injuries. I mean, please. That's what you're saying at this point. So, again, Braves do lose again to the Texas Rangers. 4-game losing streak and Graham's on the IL. That is the most Braves talk there's going to be for probably the rest of this show, because we are out here live at Flowery Branch at Atlanta Falcons training camp. Day 4 of practice is underway. We'll continue to be your eyes and ears here. And if you are here, come say what's up to you, boys, as we'll be out here until 1 o'clock. When we come back here, though, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on around the rest of the NFL. One rookie finally got his deal. And also, we got some more training camp injuries to update you on as well. That's coming up next here. It is your boy Dylan Matthews alongside the former Atlanta Falcon, Mike Johnson. And we are live from Atlanta Falcons training camp here at Flowery Branch. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 99 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
I'm happy to be back with my team, Mason. You know, just be back.
Right now, we're just ready to play.
Back to Mike and Dylan, live from the Ticketmaster Studios in Flowery Branch.
Brought to you in part by your North Georgia Honda dealers, Window Nation, windownation.com, or call 866-90-NATION, and Margaritaville in Lanier Islands.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is your boy Dylan Matthews alongside the former Atlanta Falcon, Mike Johnson, as we are live from Atlanta Falcons training camp, day 4 of practice underway. Mike, is there anything in particular you are waiting to hear about? And shout out to our guy, Abe Gordon, by the way. He is our eyes and ears as practice is going on right now. Obviously, we're broadcast for the people. And so we are not able to necessarily view practice right now as it's going on. We'll try to sneak in there at some point, but Abe Gordon is being our eyes and ears. Is there anything you're necessarily looking for or waiting to hear about as far as Falcons practice goes today?
You know, it's interesting because what I'm looking for most right now, being it's the third viewable practice, it's actually day 4 of training camp for them.
Right.
I want to see the movement of players. And I'm not talking about like running or splitting the gap or splitting the double team. I'm talking about what changes have been made since Thursday, right? When you talk about battles, who is gaining reps? David Sills yesterday at the wide receiver spot, wide receiver 5, wide receiver 6. Washington making catches and you know, kind of getting more reps. It sounds to me, and we're getting updates from our guy, Ed Gordon, on the other side of the fence, and he's talking about the nickel package he just saw roll out on the field, the 4-2-5 nickel package. It sounds like both Helms and Xavier Watts on the field together, possibly as a combination to see like Helms backing up Jesse Bates. And obviously you have to be multiple when you play safety. You have to be able to play the box, deep middle. I know we're a cover 3 style team, so you know what's kind of rolling out on that. But you know, if you are looking at an actual competition at nickel, how many reps is the offer getting? How soon do you? And we talked about, you know, James Pierce and Jalen Walker kind of matching up with one another. Does one of them start to get in place of Arnold Lebicady? Does one of them start to kind of make their presence felt? I also want to start to see the split between the defensive fronts. We've talked about how they came out Thursday in a 3-4 kind of defensive front. You had Floyd and Arnold Lebicady, the outside linebackers. You had Morgan Fox, David Onyemata, and Zach Harrison at the interior 3 spots. I want to see, is Rook in with that first group? But then when they go with the 4 down front, how does that look? What's the spacing look like? What kind of technique are they playing? So, yeah, I'm just looking at differences from day 1. I want to see what adjustments have been made. And when you do look at the competitions, who starts to get a leg up moving forward? Because now you are starting to get into, and you will over the next week, game-like situations. It will start moving into, hey, this is third and one. You'll get the pads on Tuesday. I can almost guarantee you the first day of pads. What are you going to do? Short yardage. Start to put a goal line package in as you move throughout training camp. So right now is when really, if you're back in the secondary and you're a lot of these positions that are wide receiver, things like that, without pads on is when you can start to really separate yourselves from the rest of the pack just by a simple knowledge base of knowing where to go, who to cover, what routes to run, and things like that. So that's what I'll be looking for today, and obviously we'll try to catch up with Abe Gordon afterwards and kind of get his thoughts. But I have sent him a checklist. I have sent him a checklist. Abe, I don't know what you're watching. I'm sure you're looking at the fact that Penix might be throwing for 1,000 yards today. I want to see what's at the nose guard spot. I want to see who's playing backup center. I want to see things like that. So we'll see how all that comes out.
Can I just, before we're going to go in the huddle, and we're going to get to some national football headlines here in just a second. But can I read some of the things that you had on the checklist here? Is that okay? Can
please
I do that?
Please do. Yeah, right, man. I sent him like I think it was 6 or 7. I was like, this is what you're looking for today.
I think you did 6. You had a 1 and a 1A. So 1 was, who was the third wide receiver? Just to let you know how in-depth Mikey P wants to go, just so he can be able to relay this information to you as well, the fans. 1, who was the third wide receiver in the first group? The first time they go 11 personnel, Drake, Ray, and who? Another one was Xavier Watts or Jordan Fuller with the ones at safety, or even Helms. How much run is Lamar Jackson, the cornerback, not obviously the Ravens quarterback, but we do have Lamar Jackson, the cornerback. How much run is he getting at corner? Because he's had some nice days he put together at practice. How often is Olberg blitzing today? Need a percentage. So these are just some of the things that Mike Johnson has tasked one Abe Gordon to get the info on. I
might as well have been speaking Mandarin to Abe. He was like, you know, I'm probably not going to be able to pick out a lot of that stuff. But it's things to me that I think are cues moving forward as to where this defense is headed and where these personnel packages are headed.
And like Mike Johnson said, Abe Gordon is going to join us once practice ends. So maybe around 11:40-ish we'll get Abe on to report back, and we'll see how well he did. Maybe we'll give him a grade as far as like a report card goes, and I'll let Mikey P be the judge of that. But for now, let's get to some NFL headlines around the league. Let's bounce around. Let's go in the huddle.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on the morning shift.
This is still an edition of the morning shift. Mike Johnson, obviously a co-host on the morning shift. Your boy Dylan Matthews, a producer, and I spit my 2 cents every now and again on the morning shift too. So we're just missing Allie Mack and Bo Morgan, but we are half of the morning shift. So it is still a good time to go in the huddle. First thing first, that I want to get to. How about Shamar Stewart, Mike, finally signing his rookie deal? Finally got it down. It was starting to become a question of, was this going to get done? But I still think we all, in our heart of hearts and our gut of guts, felt like this was going to get done, and it does.
I'm curious to see what happens with next year's number one pick for the Cincinnati Bengals. And it sounds, from what I've read, it sounds like he was willing to fold to the demands that the Bengals made on him in terms of guaranteed money and making sure that guarantee. We talked about it before. It sounds like the Bengals were saying, hey, if you're in jail, we're not paying you guaranteed money.
Right.
And it sounds like he was not willing to sign on to that, and it was kind of got to a ridiculous point, but it sounds like the Bengals basically said, look, we'll give you even more guaranteed money if we don't have to pay you if you go to jail or something crazy like that. Really what it comes from a player's perspective, though, Dylan, is what does that mean for the next guy? Are they going to be able to try to slip this into next year's first-round pick or next year's whatever as they move forward? And this kind of becomes part of what the Cincinnati Bengals always do. There's always trendsetters when it comes to contracts in the NFL. We'll see how that moves forward. But Shamar Stewart basically saying, I don't have plans to get a felony and go to jail.
Right.
Might as well give me a little more guaranteed money. And, hey, let's get this thing off the ground.
It's a 4-year fully guaranteed contract worth $18.97 million, includes a $10.4 million signing bonus. All right, from one person who's getting his money to one has already got his money, but he is going to miss some time. Joe Mixon is going to be out for the majority of the preseason with an ankle injury. This coming down the pipe yesterday. How big of a deal is it for the veteran running back? Again, he's been here before. Is this, if you were a fan of the Texans or if you were, you know, the Texans offense coordinator, I mean, how big of a deal is this really? Because, I mean, again, he's a running back. This isn't his first year with the team. How big of a deal is this really for Joe Mixon to be missing some time?
You know, it's hard to say. He's a guy who obviously wears a C on his chest for the Houston Texans and means a lot for this franchise. I want to say usually for running backs, it's always more of a reactionary position anyways, and he's a vet. But if you rewind a little bit, he's 29 years old, right? And so you do around that 30-year-old mark usually. Now, I know that's kind of gone in reverse over the last couple of years. Usually in the NFL, when you hit that 30-year-old mark, you start to lose a little bit of a step. So you never want to see any running back throughout training camp lose any of that training. You know, lose some of those reps, lose the ability to kind of be able to use their vision and see things going forward. But I don't think it's a massive deal. This is a Houston team who I think is searching for an identity offensively, though. If you remember, they let go of Bobby Slowick, who was a finalist for this Falcons head coaching job 2 years ago.
Yep.
They let go of him from that offensive coordinator spot last year. So they still have a lot of questions to answer about what exactly they are, specifically in the run game that was not very good last year. They also traded Laremy Tunsil to the Washington Commanders. I don't know. And to have a guy like that be out, it's not going to be a happy thing for most Houston Texan fans. But I think eventually, maybe not week one, but eventually he'll get back to where we expect him to be throughout the season.
Sticking on the injury front here, we've talked about it before. Artie Burns obviously tore his ACL with the Miami Dolphins. So they bring in two cornerbacks to kind of battle it out and see and get some depth at that cornerback position. Jack Jones and Mike Hilton. Shout out Mike Hilton, Sandy Creek boy, Georgia boy. Huh. I selfishly wanted him to come to the Atlanta Falcons, but you know, it is what it is. It's all good. But Mike Hilton, Jack Jones, both signing with the Miami Dolphins. Again, this is in place of Artie Burns after he tears his ACL. So a couple of good pickups and a couple of guys who can do some different things. And you talked about being multiple. Mike Hilton specifically, just because I've watched a lot of him, obviously in high school, college, NFL, is a guy who's a really good blitzer, can cover in the slot, and can do a couple of different things. And Jack Jones has been a fairly reliable vet. Obviously, latest he has been with the Raiders. So a couple of good pickups for the Dolphins as far as getting some depth at corner.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see how far those pickups actually go. It's kind of one of those things where you talk about DJ Chark signs with the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
I have no idea what that means. Right, and so we will look to see how that all pans out. I do know that we'll be we'll have the Miami Dolphins in town coming to play the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday, October 26th, and so that'll be week 8 of the NFL season. This is a Miami team, though, that you look over the last few years, and really since McDaniel got down there, has dealt with a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
Mostly on offense, but definitely on defense as well. And I have to think that he probably, when Artie Burns goes down, kind of rolls his eyes and goes, here we go again.
You know what I mean?
And this is kind of a – I don't think it's a prove-it year, a make or break for McDaniel as the head coach down there in Miami, but definitely one where, if healthy, they can make a run at doing some different things in the NFL and not off to a good start in that aspect.
Speaking of not off to a great start, here's a guy whose his career hasn't really gotten out of that first gear yet. When we talk about Titans wide receiver Treylon Burks, fractures his collarbone, expected to miss obviously all the training camp and even some time at the beginning of the regular season. Again, this feels like his career has kind of been in neutral, hasn't been able to shift into that next gear and kind of take that next step. Obviously, the guy who had high expectations getting drafted when he first got drafted by the Titans, and he just hasn't really been able, because of injuries and just kind of a little bit of underachieving, hasn't been able to do a whole lot in the NFL.
Anybody who's upset about the fact that Darnell Mooney is missing time for the Atlanta Falcons, go ahead and look no further than Treylon Burks breaking his collarbone on what I can only think is a very similar play.
Absolutely. It was.
It's unfortunate, to say the least, for them. But I will say this. I don't know if you saw the press conference with the Titans GM and head coach, and they were asked, hey, do you think this roster is a Super Bowl-worthy roster? And they kind of paused. One of them chuckled. They kind of looked at one another, and they're like, man, we have a lot of talent on this team. And it was like, no, the answer is no. We are not ready to take this team to a Super Bowl yet. And so it's unfortunate when you look for the Titans, but it is what it is, man. I mean, this is a guy, it stinks for him, but I always look at the team, obviously, first when you talk about the Tennessee Titans, who we will see in just a few weeks, be matching up in the preseason with the Atlanta Falcons. We'll see what their answer is.
They looked at each other and said, all right, which one of us is going to give this
you gotta fall on the
politically
sword.
Correct answer, but also try to say yes and no at the same time?
Yep.
So
yep.
That's kind of how that went there. So those are some NFL headlines for you as we go in the huddle. When we come back, we will get back to Atlanta Falcons talk. We're actually going to let you hear from one guy who's going to be very, very crucial to this Falcons team this year, and that is Tyler Al. He spent some time with Sam and Greg. He spent some time with the fellas yesterday. We'll let you hear some of that interview and react to what Tyler had to say on the other side. That's coming up next here, live from Falcons training camp here at Flowery Branch. Your boy Dylan Matthews, Mikey P, Mike Johnson, the former Atlanta Falcon, hanging out with you. That's coming up next here on Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app.
We'll be right back.
I'm happy to be back with my teammates and, you know, just be back.
Right now, we're just ready to play.
Back to Mike and Dylan, live from the Ticketmaster Studios in Flowery Branch.
Brought to you in part by your North Georgia Honda dealers, Window Nation, windownation.com, or call 866-90-NATION, and Margaritaville in Lanier Islands.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is your boy Dylan Matthews alongside the former Atlanta Falcon, Mikey P. Mike Johnson, hanging out with you, here with you until 1 p.m., so we still got a long ways to go as Atlanta Falcons practice is underway, day four of Falcons training camp, third open practice, and we got plenty of fans out here. Great showing this game, got a lot of fans getting some good food, getting some good eats, shopping at the team store, and a lot of fans on the hill taking in practice right now. And if you are here or on the way to Falcons training camp practice, don't be shy to come say what's up to your boys, and we'll chop it up with you for as long as we can. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews, and follow Mike Johnson at MPJohnson79 on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. We were just talking about some NFL headlines, and there's one quick one I need to get to before we let you hear Tyler Algier's interview with Sam and Greg. The Dolphins and safety Minkah Fitzpatrick have agreed to a revised contract. They are adding a $16.245 million signing bonus to his deal. There was previously no guaranteed money on his deal, and then his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, says the two sides, Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins, are going to continue to work on a long-term deal. So a little bit more NFL news for you. But let's get back to what is happening locally here, and then obviously, as we are the flagship station of the Atlanta Falcons, we get to talk to some Atlanta Falcons after practice. Should be talking to a Falcon after practice today. Don't know who yet. It'll be a surprise. But we will talk to an Atlanta Falcon after they finish up their practice around 11:30. So 11:40, noon, depending on what they have to do after practice. We'll be talking to an Atlanta Falcon after practice today. So looking forward to that. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But Sam and Greg were joined by Falcons running back Tyler Algier, a guy who is going to be very important to this Falcons team trying to make a playoff push this year. And they started things off by asking Tyler, how are things going with you in the offense?
Yeah, no, it's been really good. You know, just day by day, just trying to get better, just building the chemistry. So we got a handful of new guys, got some old vets and old guys coming up, so it's been good.
We had Gerald Riggs on here earlier. You, obviously, you know who Gerald is, and we talk about what does his body clock tell him now that he's been retired all these years, but here we are at training camp. Do you still get that feeling? He says no. When does your body clock kick in, or is it year-round getting ready for this time?
Man, I'll say it's year-round just getting ready. I think especially right after OTAs, I think that's when everyone gets their body just in tip-top shape, so it's so you're not really struggling when camp truly comes around.
Yep. Tyler, a lot of optimism here. Really optimistic today. Everybody seemed really happy coming in. Great traditions. We go out there. I slipped away and watched some practice. I got to see a lot of sets with you and B. John in together. What are we trying to see this year in the offense with you and him both in the backfield together some?
Yeah, man, I think just a whole lot of I don't want to say too much.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Good answer. All right.
Good answer.
Hey, we'll see, though.
You looked great today.
No, I appreciate it.
We got about a couple dozen people out here standing here because you're here, obviously. And we got a question from the crowd. The man asked, how much do you lift?
Bench or squat?
Squat.
Squat? He wanted to know how much you squat.
Squat. Ah. Maybe five blues, five plates.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right.
But we haven't done that in a while, though.
Okay.
We just maintain. So, like, we'd be doing, like, three plates just casually.
There okay. You go. How much okay. do you do?
405.
Four plates? Not too bad.
All right. I'll talk about some things with this offense now. You know, we're getting adjusted to Michael Penix Jr. there, quarterback. What is the biggest adjustment for the running game for you and the running backs working with him now as the starter?
Yeah, I think just continuing to get that chemistry, just tracking his ball, especially because, you know, he's a lefty, so you know that it spins a little different, but just really just building that chemistry with him, the O-line, and then just the receivers down the field and stuff.
Huddle, a different sound, the cadence, the voice. I know that's different for the line. What about for you guys?
Oh, for sure, because he's more of a he's pretty mellow. He's not like he's a quiet guy. So, but he's like a quiet leader. So, like, I do appreciate that. But like when he needs to get loud, he'll get loud though.
Yeah. Do you have a regimen that you do every year going into camp or those first couple games? But what's it like for you this year? Has anything changed? Or is it the same routine?
Wait, say that again?
Do you have the same routine headed into the training camp every year? Or do you do things a little different with every season?
No, I try to keep things pretty consistent. I'm a, what's it called?
Creature of habit.
Yeah. If something's off, I'm like, God, it's about to be a bad day or something, bro. Yeah, so I like to keep things pretty consistent, or try to at least.
People speculate on what we think the players feel about the preseason games being cut down to three. How do you feel about that?
They got cut down to three? What do you mean? It changed?
No, it's the same as last year.
No, it's the same as last year.
They used to be four, now they're three.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see. Yeah, I feel like she was just opportunity for whoever gets the, whoever has the opportunity just to play out there. I think she would just really just put some good tape on film. I think that's how I started as well. So I think just putting good tape on film and just making the most out of every opportunity there is.
Tyler, what's something you specifically are really working on this training camp? What's something you are focused on?
Yeah, sure. Just continuing to strive to be an all-around back. I think obviously I can run the ball, but just continuing being consistent in pass protection and then just being a threat in the backfield. I think everyone wants to just be that guy. So I feel like
absolutely. Yeah.
Seemed like it wasn't that long ago that you were stumbling through the gate here. Even though as a rookie, you were coming in with the attitude of being very, very aggressive, you know, looking forward to it. Yeah, I can handle this and whatnot. What do you pass along to the young guys that come along now? Because now you're one of the people that they turn to.
Yeah,
that time come quickly?
Oh, my gosh, what? I'm the big man in the group, man. Yeah, man, I think you're really just getting the playbook down, just taking care of your body, because playbook and your body, you being able to perform on the field and then making sure your body's right just to keep not like chipping away at it. I think that's the most important thing. So just getting those two right and then just trying to be a pro as fast as you can. That's really it.
Tyler Algeo joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Parker's joining us too. Grass or turf, and is there a favorite stadium that you look forward to playing in?
Uh-oh.
Ooh. Grass. I'm a fan of grass, man.
Yeah.
At least you have to pick your knees up a little bit. Yeah. But turf, you are faster.
That's what I'm saying.
I feel like turf, you be sliding. And then stadium, Minnesota was electric, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear that's a place.
Yeah,
that's a place.
Yeah, that was fun. You got her butts, but. Butts kick, but hey, time to change the tide this year, man.
Tyler, we'd be remiss. Sam and I do the high school show in Georgia's every Friday. So we'd be remiss if we asked you about high school. So where'd you go to high school? Brag on your high school a minute.
Kaiser High School, man.
Loved it. Great time. Still remember it?
It was good.
Yeah, we talked to people. We talked to people that played from Georgia, and they always talk about their high school days. Nobody asks them about them, right, Sam? So I took the time to ask.
Once you get to this level, people don't ask you about high school. So, we ask you about those times. And what's the best Friday night memory you remember? Who was the rival? Who was it that you love to play against? Who did you play against that's now in the league? Anybody? Being in that part of California, no?
No one.
He's that guy, Sam. He's the guy the other people are telling about.
Yeah, come on, man.
Okay.
Yeah, no. All right. Come on, Sam. Actually, Jamal Williams. But we didn't play against each other.
Okay.
We didn't play against. But he went to the rival high school.
So. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is there a special game that stands out to you?
Maybe us against Grand Terrace. Yeah. We finally beat Grand Terrace. No, we beat Summit.
Okay.
That's the rival high school. We beat them, but we lost to Grand Terrace for the Sunkist League Championship.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
How you feel about going to Germany this year?
Yeah.
Oh, that should be lit. Should be lit, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it.
How do you like those trips, and how do you handle it? Your body clock and everything.
You really just got to make sure you take that melatonin, man, because that flight. Because last year we had a flight, boom. But then right when we got there, like, you had to sleep because it was morning and we had to practice. So, like, you just –
wow.
Kind of like that dynamic, just trying to figure that out. So
you can't sleep on the flight. That kind of don't count.
Because by the time you eat, and then like it's like 4 hours, you got 4 hours of sleep, then like you got to just practice. So should be interesting. How they plan it out.
You've been to Europe? I mean, other than the game, have you traveled over there at all?
It's not to Europe, but to Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I went to Japan twice.
Okay.
Overseas.
Okay, okay.
But Europe, no. That's the plan. Plan to go to Italy maybe next year. So.
Okay, we're gonna get.
We'll see.
You add those. We're gonna add those miles up for you.
I'm always curious to, if you get a chance to. I know you don't want to divulge too much, but we got the fans here. You know, we talk about you on a regular basis. Those of us in the media. What is it that we don't know about your preparation, players, that you have to go through on a weekly basis to get ready for that game? Something we may not realize.
Yeah, sure. I mean, really, just film study. Looking at the D-line looks, linebackers, your main matchups, especially when they blitz and stuff, kind of the rotation of all of that. So, like, it's really just the top down is what you want to see through it.
I was surprised at the amount of time I heard players said they sleep. Like getting that sleep, man.
Down. You have to. Especially with these early mornings, you got to be in bed by 9. Hopefully you're being in bed by 10. And then especially with the early mornings, I try to get at least 8 hours. But getting kind of short because, like, I'll be in at least 7. I'd say 7. 7 is the minimum. Then everything under that, you're like, I'm about to be sluggish.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. There ain't no playing during the season.
No,
they ain't playing around. Them days are gone.
People don't appreciate how much all day, every day, he's a football player. That's what I know. I mean, all day, every day. Training, sleep, everything. These guys are committed and working hard. There's more optimism here than I've seen in a long time, Sam. I'm excited for the team. So excited, Tyler. Really excited for you guys and the team. Is the optimism that we saw from the fans what you're seeing in the locker room too?
Oh, yeah. No, it's fun, man. Yeah, it should be really good. It should be really good, man.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, we're not going to play the spinners again. But we appreciate you coming back and spending some time today out there. Big workout out there, man. Continued success. Let's have a great season. Everybody, give me a rise up. Give me a rise up.
All right.
Tyler, Argyros, thanks so much for the time. Always great to catch up with you.
Stay healthy as always, man.
Thanks, man.
I appreciate it.
Atlanta Falcons running back Tyler Algier spending some time with Sam and Greg yesterday. Great job by the fellas, as always. Coach Chris Parker was a part of that interview as well. And Mike Johnson and I were actually talking about how Mike met Chris Parker and the crazy timing of that. So,
Rob met him at a Glazer Clinic, which is a high school coaching, or really a college coaches too. It's a coaching convention back when I was coaching high school ball. And he didn't know I did radio. I didn't know he did radio at the time. It's been a few years back, and I was kind of just chopping it up, realized we knew a lot of the same people. And good dude, man. Just a guy that knows a lot about football, man. I like to flex my muscles, but he knows a lot more in depth about certain things and certain offensive philosophies than I do. So it's good to catch up with him always.
I know I'm still kind of young, and I know I've been watching a little bit too much, as the kids call, brain rot content. The first time you said when you said Glazer Clinic, I thought about, like, you know, the term glazing. You know what that means?
No.
You don't know what glazing means?
No,
like,
I don't think
like
so.
Like, if I say, like, you're glazing right now, you don't know what that means?
No, man, no idea.
So glazing is just like, all right, you're being too – it's basically you're being too complimentary. Like,
okay.
You're,
you do that a lot. Now that
I'm
going to start telling you you're glazed.
I do glaze. Yeah, I definitely
– Dylan,
definitely
you're glazing Bo and Allie right now. Just chill out, man.
I do want to get into something real quick. Yes. Mike was giving me hand signals, and that's exactly what I wanted to touch on. So – we got word, and again, shout out to Abe Gordon, as we are broadcasting live here from Falcons training camp at Flowery Branch here. We are facing the opposite way of practice. We're broadcasting to the people. We are the men of the people, but Abe is being our eyes and ears right now, so shout out to Abe Gordon. So we got a little bit of fisticuffs happening on the practice field, word to Abe. So fight started with James Pearson, Ryan Neusel, then Bergeron came. You know Bergeron's always on. He's always on go. He's always ready to jump in there.
Hey, he might be the meanest Canadian I've ever seen.
Right.
Meanest Canadian I've ever seen.
And then it continued with James Pearson. Then you, while we were playing the interview with Tyler Algier with Sam and Greg, you had went to the restroom, and then as soon as you stepped out of the restroom, you saw another fight happening between James Pearson. Who was he going at with?
I couldn't quite make it out. I caught the back end, but I just knew the only black jersey, which is the defense today, that was involved in it was 27. And I was like, wait a second. That's James Pearson again.
Yeah.
And fighting with somebody else, another officer. I will say, when I was out here on Thursday, I did make a mental note of it that James Pearson was jawing a lot. He was talking a lot. And as things start to wear thin, and as guys get more and more tired, and as we approach the 4-day mark, the 5-day mark, whatever it is, of hearing the same mouth being ran and the same different things and stressors on the same people, it gets old, right? You know, I was more of a fighter in college. I did throw a few hands around here at Atlanta Falcons training camp, but it gets old in a hurry, and tempers flare.
So I want to ask you about that, because obviously, like you said, you were a little bit fighter, and you were definitely a fighter in college, not so much here when you're with the Falcons, but how does that go? Because I've always wondered about that, because obviously the guys are teammates, and, you know, they obviously aren't trying to hurt each other, but tempers do rise up and tempers do flare. Like, is it a couple of plays later? Is like after practice? You're just like, hey, man, you know, we're all good. Or is there anything that needs to be said when those kind of things happen?
Not a lot. A lot of times, because look, you know what it is.
Yeah,
everybody's been a part of these. It was a matter of fact. It was. I'm gonna laugh right here.
He's getting flashbacks.
I'm getting flashbacks from just a minute ago. So I walk out of the restroom a minute ago, and you know we're in the middle of a commercial break, and I walk out, and the guys are fighting on the field, and there was a family in front of me. And the little boy is probably, I don't know, about 8 years old, maybe 7 years old. And he's watching the fight on the field. And everybody's going, you know, the crowd is just roaring. He goes, Daddy, why are they fighting? And his dad goes, same reason you and your brother's fighting. Now get in the picture.
love
and
that.
And I was like, man, it's so true. It's so true because you're around the same people all the time and you have the same issues. And you're like, man, this guy's been testing my patience for too long. I'm going to throw hands with him. And so you move on quickly. I will say that one of the last fights I got into was actually with a college teammate of mine, Javier Arenas, who got signed here during training camp 1 year. And we got in a fight because I thought he cheap shot at an offensive player. And we did talk afterwards because we'd known each other. He was a co-captain with me at Bama. And we get in a fight at Falcons training camp. It was actually headline news over in Birmingham at the time.
Oh, wow.
And so it was funny of us going back and forth. But we did chop it. We were friends. We like afterwards, he was like, my bad. And I was like, no, it's all good. You know what it is. Like, we used to do this all the time in college. So it is funny, man. But, yeah, tempers flare. It is what it is. It's hot. Guys are tired at the end of practice. And it's like, you know what? Tired of hearing your mouth.
Right.
Tired of having you lean on me. Tired of having maybe you grab my collar or maybe you got a hand in my face mask. And I didn't like it. So, yeah, everything will be back to normal. But I doubt that Caleb McGarry and James Pierce or whoever it was that was blocking him at the time are going to be getting beers anytime soon.
Right,
so
right.
It doesn't really need to be hashed out from that angle.
At least not now because, you know, the chances are James Pierce already gotten two fights today. There might be some more, you know, the next practice. So
And I like it, man. I think most of the fans like it. You realize guys are competing when it comes to throwing blows afterwards. So it is what it is.
Yeah, and again, you realize that guys care, and you can tell there's a certain intensity about it when the tempers do flare over. Again, as long as it doesn't get too crazy, you know what it is. It's all in good sport, and it's all just a part of the process here.
Yep.
So, hey, the tempers are flaring a little bit here at Atlanta Falcons training camp, but it is all good. And look, when it gets close to 90 degrees, which is 86 right now, according to what I'm getting on my weather app, you know, it can start to get a little crazy out here, you know, so people get that look in their eye.
I did just get a text, and I think we can go ahead and start throwing this out there. I did just get a text from David Bassidy that we are going to be visiting with Chris Lindstrom after practice. So that will be – I'll get the inside track on the James Pierce fight.
There you go.
Hey, man, was that you?
Right.
I thought I saw you throw a right-hand haymaker at James Pierce. So
was that you with the hook?
Yeah, obviously got a ton of things to talk to Chris Lindstrom about. That'll be coming up here and not too long from now. And, you know, we'll get a chance to catch up with him, get some of the insight on the quarterback stuff, the backup center battles, some of the differences with the left-handed quarterback, and how we can expect the offense to change coming in here in year 2 of Zach Robinson. So that'll be a good conversation.
Just to give you guys kind of outline on the time, Falcons practice ends at 11:30, and then obviously the player, he won't come straight over, but he'll be over soon after practice ends. So maybe around the noon hour, you guys want to make sure you're tuned in, and we'll be having Chris Lindstrom on the show. So that will be a lot of fun, as Mike mentioned. But when we come back here, we are going into hour number 3 of the program. And we talked a little bit about with Josh Kendall, but Michael Penix Jr., he made it his mission, and he made it a point to say they're getting KP the ball a lot this year. What does that mean? What should we expect? And even though he's saying KP's going to get the ball a lot, is Zach Robinson really going out of his way to drop any more extra plays for KP? We'll talk about it next. Got to wait 5 minutes. We'll be right back. It is your boy Dylan Matthews alongside the former Atlanta Falcon, Mikey P. Mike Johnson. We are live from Atlanta Falcons training camp. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.